Tonight's shiur, Parshas Va'aschanan. Sedra, of course, starts off with Moshe Rabbeinu davening to be allowed to enter into Israel. Va'aschanan el Hashem be'sahi le'mor. Topic of tefillah, how should one daven? So Maisa, once a Yid came to the Chafetz Chaim, and he asked the Chafetz Chaim if he could please daven for him. He says, all kinds of tzaras or whatever. He asks, please, I need a Yeshua. So the Chafetz Chaim says, you're asking me to daven for, did you daven for yourself? Did you daven? And he says, of course I daven, but I didn't see Yeshua, so now I came to you, maybe you can, through your tefillahs. He says, you said you daven? He says, yeah. He says, do me a favor. He says, you live across the street, right? He says, yeah. He says, go home and bring me your Sefer Tehillim. He says, okay. So the Yid goes home, comes back a couple minutes later with the Sefer Tehillim in his hand. And Chafetz Chaim says, can I see that please? Sure, he hands him the Sefer. He's leafing through it, looking through it here. He says, that's not called davening. It's not called davening. I don't understand. He says, wait a second. So he was an older man already at this time. Chafetz Chaim, he climbs up the top shelf of his, where he keeps his Sfarim. He pulls out like an old, very old Sefer Tehillim. And all the pages are all yellow or whatever. He comes down, he hands it to the man, he says, have a look at this Sefer Tehillim. He opens it up, and he sees, very old, but also tons of markings of tears, dried tear marks all over. He says, this is my mother, Aleha Shalom's Sefer Tehillim, he told the guy. He says, that's how you have to dub it. It's a famous word from the Chidah. Says Moshe Rabbeinu Davin is Ebra Navires Aretz Atova. I want to see the land, etc. And then Hashem said to him, "Vayomer Hashem Melah." Hashem said, "Told to me." So Moshe says, "Ravlach Al Tasef Tosef Daber Elayod Bedavarzeh." Says that's it. Don't talk to me anymore about it. So the Chida says that Moshe Rabbeinu had there was a Kabbalah by Moshe that if he says the word Na twice, then his tefillahs will for sure be answered. Where do we see this? By when he davened for his sister, right? By Miriam. He said, Kael na, once, Rafa na, la. He said the word na twice. So he had a Kabbalah, he says the word na, Hashem has to answer his tefillahs. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say over here? Ebra na vere. He says, please na, let me go over and see the Eretz Yisrael. So then Hashem said, uh-oh, he said the word na once. He says it one more time, I have to, listen to him, I have to let him in. Hashem didn't want to let him in. So therefore, that's why Hashem interrupted him and he said, no. He says, Al Tosef Daber Elai Od Badavar Hazeh. Don't say this thing anymore. What's that thing? Nah. Already said it once, one more time, I have to let you in. Okay, we find in the Sedra the Isser of Bal Tosef. Right, the pasuk says, "Lo sosifu al davar sheir anochi mitzvei eschem, lo sigru mimenu." Shouldn't add, shouldn't subtract from the mitzvahs. Lishmor et kol mitzvah Hashem elokeichem asher anochi mitzvei eschem hayom. From mitzvei eschem. So it's a famous mashal from the Magi Midubna. It says once a person went to his neighbor, Reuven went to Shimon, and he says, "Shimon, could you lend me a pot?" So Shimon says, sure. So he lends Reuven his pot. Okay. So afterwards, when Shimon lends Reuven his pot, and then when Reuven comes to return the pot to Shimon, so Shimon says, he says, here's your pot, and he gives him his pot back, and he gives him a little pot. He says, what's this? I lent you a pot. What are you giving me back? Also a little pot. He says, oh, mazal tov. He says, what? He says, your pot gave birth. He says, oh, it's a little pot. So he's like, oh, okay. Fine, great. So he got himself an extra pot. A few days later, again, he goes to him and he says, can I borrow a broom? So he says, sure. So he lends him a broom. Comes back later and he says, okay, here's your broom and here's a little broom. What's a little broom for? You borrowed a big broom from me. What's a little broom? Oh, I gotta tell you, mazal tov. Your broom gave birth. And he says, so he goes, oh, wow. Thank you very much. Wonderful. Got next room. Anyway, a few days later, comes to me, says, I have something else I want to borrow. Whatever you want, you can borrow from me. Says, you have that very expensive gold goblet, you know, cup. Can you lend me your gold cup? Sure, no problem. He's thinking of what he's going to get back, you know. So he goes, sure, take my gold cup, please. So he takes the cup and doesn't return it. He's waiting, waiting, waiting. His friend ran, doesn't return it. Comes back to him and he says, you remember I lent you my gold cup? He goes, yeah. Well, where is it? Can I have my gold cup back? He says, no. He says, no, what happened? Why? He says, oh, I forgot to tell you, it died. He says, that's ridiculous. Since when do cups die? He says, since when do brooms give birth? Meaning, says the Magi Dum, no, that if you add on to the danger of adding on to the mitzvahs is that in the end, you might take away from the mitzvahs also. So once you start playing around with them, adding on, oh, another mitzvah, now you're adding on. Next thing you know, you're going to take away. There's once a reform Jew, he asked Rav Israel Hildesheimer, he says, you know, why don't you guys, you know, take away, there's so many mitzvahs, and I think that's what's stopping people from keeping the Torah. Wouldn't it be better if you take away some of the mitzvahs, and you'll get more customers, you know, more people interested in, you know, keeping the Torah. You'll lessen the load a little bit. So he said, the answer to your question is, you think you're doing a Shem Shemayim, whatever, very nice, but the Torah itself says you're not allowed to do that. So where does it say that in the Torah? It says, the Pasuk. It says, Lo sosifu al davar shon nochi mitzveschem, velo sigru mimenu, you shouldn't take away anything of the Torah, lishmor es mitzvot Hashem Elokecha. Meaning, even if it's kedei, in order to lishmor. He said, I'm taking away so more people will keep the Torah. No, you're not allowed to do that. Even if it's kedei lishmor. Mashal Chafetz Chaim used to say, there's a person who had a store right next to the river. One day, people see this guy standing right in front of the store and taking the merchandise and tossing it out of the store into the river. So they say, what's going on? So they say, this guy must be Meshuggah. Right? So they said, listen, he says, whether the guy's Meshuggah or not, I don't know. I don't know. But one thing for sure I can tell you, that's not his store. Okay, this story wouldn't be throwing the merchandise in the river. He's crazy. No, I don't know, but it's not his story that I can tell you. So too, somebody that's throws away mitzvahs is meshuggah. He's not meshuggah. He's not keeping the mitzvahs. No. But one thing you can tell him, it's not his. If it was really his mitzvahs, he really felt like it was his, he wouldn't be throwing it away so quickly. Okay, the pasuk says, the Torah is considered a tremendous chachma in the eyes of the nations. That this nation is surely a very, very wise nation. So a few ma'aselach from the shows the chachma of the Jewish people. The rather famous ma'aselach with the Rambam. Once the Rambam, personal doctor of the king of Egypt. And one day, one of the sarim, the ministers of the government, was jealous. You know, saw how the king loved the Rambam, he had given him, you know, extra special attention. And this sar, this minister, was, you know, jealous. So he wanted to do away with the Rambam. So he went to the king and he said, listen, king, you know this Rambam guy? It says, He's out to get you. I have inside information. He wants to kill you. He's out to kill you. And the king says, what? He wants to he wants to take your life. I know. I have inside information, etc., etc. So the king said, oh yeah, I know. He got all angry. He says, okay, that's it. I'm going to, you know, kill this Rambam, put him to death for such a thing, to plotting against me, etc. Anyways, that was his first reaction, but he was, you know, thinking about it more, and the king says, I'm not a little bit hard for me to believe, because, I mean, till now, this Rambam, you know, appears to me like a very righteous man and always helping me and doing good things to me. So he didn't know what to do. So he decided he's going to make a pull lot. You know, let heaven decide. Okay? So he told everybody that he's going to call the Rambam in and he's going to give them, put two lots in a you know, basket or whatever. One of them is going to say on it, life, Chaim, and the other one, Maves, death. And let him pull out a lot. Whatever he picks out, that tells us what the emes is. If he pulls out a lot saying life, I'll leave him keep him alive. He's obviously okay. Picks out death, he deserves to be killed. Fine. So everybody came for the big lot picking ceremony. And what happened? The one that was told to write the pieces of paper, the two lots, was the shamash of the king, the Beit Mishpat, the courts there, whatever. And he was a ardent hater of the Jews. He hated the Jewish man. So he wanted the Rambam also done away with. So what did he do? He thought he would be smart. And he wrote on both pieces of paper, Mavis. So no choice. Whatever he picks, that's it. That's the end. Anyway, so here they are. They put both these papers in the box. And everybody's watching, you know. Says king says, okay, Rambam, please pick one of the papers. So closes his eyes, picks one of the papers. As soon as he lifts it out of the box, he immediately sticks it in his mouth and swallows it. Everybody's like, what? What is he doing? Wow, he swallowed a lot. He ruined the whole lot and the thing. So the king said, what did you do? Why did you do that? He said, you ruined a lot, you know, the whole thing, the whole ceremony. He goes, no. He said, I didn't ruin any ceremony. Everything's okay. He says, what do you mean? You ate the paper you picked. Said, yeah, but it's not a problem. Why? Because these are two pieces of paper, right? One says life and one says death. It's true, I picked one and swallowed it. No problem, look at the other one in the basket. Whatever it is, you know, if it says death in there, you know I picked the one that says life. If it says life, you know I picked the one that says death. What's the problem? So he opened a piece of paper, and sure enough, it said death, because they both said death. And he said, okay, good, it said death, means the one I swallowed must have said life on it. So the king, said to him after, like, come on, like whoa. So he said, listen, you know, I was choshesh that they probably wrote death on both of the pieces of paper. So it was the only way, you know, I could win. So the king said, wow, that's ingenious. So he looked into it, and investigate, and sure enough, he found out that it was the plot against the Rambam, and he did away with the minister and the shamash, and everything worked out good. Next maisa. Okay, this next maisa, it's much easier if you could see it written down, but when you have in your spare time, you can write it down. You can see the beauty of it. It was a maisa with the Eben Ezra. The Eben Ezra once went on a ship, and he took with him 15 Talmidim. And besides the 15 Talmidim that he took, there were also another 15 Goyim on the ship, besides the captain, whatever. So there were him, it was him, his 15 Talmidim, and 15 Goyim, right, some. And they were going on the ship. Anyways, in the middle of their journey, voyage, all of a sudden a storm erupts, and very bad, and it looked like the whole ship was going to capsize. It was, you know, turn over. And the captain of the ship says, we got to do something. So he started, you know, throwing out some of the excess baggage or whatever, but it's not going to do it. So he had to lighten the load. So he made a cheshbon, and he said to the Ebenezer, he says, listen, there's too many people on the boat. It's weighing it down. If we're going to survive, we got to throw over some people. Just throw them overboard. So he said, I made a cheshbon. I think we have to throw out half the boat. In other words, there's, besides you and me, there's like another 30 people, right? You're 15 Talmidim, another 15 other Goyim. So we got to get rid of 15 people. And then we have a chance to survive. So the Ebenezer said, okay, I hear, you know, I mean, what are you going to, if you're not going to throw anybody, everybody's going to die. He said, okay, here's 15 people at least, you know. Aye, but who's going to go overboard? So the Ebenezer says, okay, I have an idea. Let's do like a lottery thing, you know, like a... So he said, okay, well, what do you, how do you suggest? A piece of paper? He goes, no. He said, I have an idea. He says, let's line up all these 30 people, right, my 15 Talmidim, and the you know, and the 15 goyim, whatever. We'll line them up in a row, and we'll pick a number, let's say 9, and then we'll count, and every 9th person, overboard. Okay, and then we keep going 9, 9, 9 till we get to the end of the row line. Go start again from the beginning and keep going. And every 9 go out until we hit 15 people, and then that's it. So the captain said, "Fine, okay, why? What's the difference? Fine, okay, do it like that." Anyway, so the Ebenezer says, "Good." So he takes these 30 people, 15 Talmidim, and his 15, the 15 goyim, and he lines them up. How do he line them up? He lines them up as follows. Talmid, 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 Goy, 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 Talmid, Talmid, Goy, Talmid, Talmid, Goy, Talmid, Goy, Goy, Talmid, Talmid, Goy, 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 Talmid, Goy, Goy, Talmid, Talmid, Goy. That's 30 people. Okay, he lined it up in that thing. And he said, okay, let's start counting. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 9, Goy. 1, 2, 3, 9, Goy. 9, Goy. And then in the middle of the third count, he went back to the beginning of the line, you know, again, the end of the line, started getting it, said, 9, 9, 9. Went around the whole thing. Every 9, when you could make the cheshbon, was all the 15 goyim. They're off the ship, and they left the 15 talmidim. So I made the cheshbon. It works out perfect. And so the captain was like amazed. He said, like, chachma, you know, they're the, like the cheshbon. And yeah, it's the chachma of the Yehudim. Another one last maisa. Told over Rav Chaim Mishash, he says there was once a chacham, and he went out to the field before Pesach one year to cut down some wheat and to watch it, you know, for his matzahs. Anyway, so he's out there in the field, coming back, and all of a sudden this very chashav minister, whatever, sar, comes on his horse, and he stops by him, and he says. He says, listen, you look like a rabbi. He goes, okay, whatever. So he says, I need your help. He says, what? He says, well, I have a meeting coming up tomorrow with the king. Okay, and it's not a pashuta meeting, okay? Like, I have to come out clean, the kids are from that meeting. And so I need your help. Can you please write for me a kamiya? You know, special things with, you know, whatever you Jews do, you know, as kamiya, and so I can be successful in this meeting. Anyway, so this chacham made a cheshbon. He started thinking to himself, listen, the fact that this tsar, you know, wants to, he obviously, he did something bad, and he's probably in big trouble, and he didn't think, you know, whatever he's going to write him, it's not going to work, you know. So, but then, you know, what should you do? So he decided to just say in Hebrew, hitchamek, you know. He said, listen, I don't know these things, I'm not into the Kabbalah, and now you have to ask somebody else, you know. So the tsar said to him, no, nothing doing. Pulls out his sword, he says, you're going to write me a kamiya, or I'm going to chop your head off. Very simple. And not only that, if I'm not successful in my meeting with the king tomorrow, also, goodbye head. So the Chacham's like, okay, okay, no other choice. So he had a bright idea. Listen to this. He takes a piece of paper out of his pocket. He scribbles some whatever, some kishkushim, you know, letters and things, whatever. He makes up some things. He wraps it up. He gives it to the tsar. He says, okay, this is the story. Here's the kamiya. Okay? Put this around your neck, you know, wear it around your neck. And when you go in for your meeting, you know, with the king tomorrow, he says, however, in order for this to work, there's only one condition. One tanai, nothing major, very little, but in order for this kamiya to work, don't ask me why it's the case, but in order for this, you cannot think of a cat. That's all. Don't think about a cat, everything will be okay. And then you'll be successful. But that's it. But you can't think about a cat. And I think there's always just going to ruin the whole effect. And okay, you got that? So the tsar says, big deal. I mean, who has to think about a cat? Who cares about a cat? Okay, well, I don't think about cats. You know, no problem. Great, very good. So he gives them the kamiya. As is meeting the next day. So what do you think? I can't think about a cat. Oh, the cat. I'm not the cat. I can't. Cats. I'm not supposed. He knew he wasn't supposed to think. Couldn't help but thinking about cat. Sure enough, he thought about the cat the whole time that he was not supposed to think about. And the king got very angry at him and for what he had done, and that was the end of him. But he couldn't take revenge against the Chacham because he gave him the Tanayim. I was thinking about a cat. He thought about a cat. Okay, let us go on. It says in the pasuk, "Mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim elav kashem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav." Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz was asked, "Why is it that the goyim, they only have like seven mitzvahs, and Yid has 613? It's a lot more, right? So many more mitzvahs. Why is it that a Yid has so many more mitzvahs than the goy?" So he gave the following analogy. He said, "Imagine there's a tsar, minister in the government, and Kafri, a village person. Now, how often does the village person get to meet the king? Who knows, maybe once a year, maybe once a month, maybe once every 10 years, very rarely. So therefore, he has like one suit, you know, for that occasion when he happens to have, you know, meet with the king, which is whenever that is, right? One little suit. I mean, how many suits do you need? He only sees him once in a blue moon. However, the Tsar, he's in and out of the king every day. You know, this meeting, that meeting at the king, he's consul. So therefore, he has to have, a few nice suits. You know, he can't just, can't get by the one same suit every day as he sees the king all the time. So Mele says, it's an Ibishit, same thing. He says, we're like the Tsarim, the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're, as the Pasuk says, we're Krovim Elav. Right? We're very close to him. Since we're very close to him, we have to have a lot of extras, you know, a lot of clothing and all of changes, you know, because we see him all the time. The goyim, not so close to Hashem, therefore seven mitzvahs, that's enough. Okay. Pasuk says, "Rachi shemir lecha ushmor nafshecha meod." The Kotzker Rebbe used to say that, as we know, the word rak, achen rak or miyutim, right? It means to mimayit, to take away. So he says in the pasuk, "Rak hishamer lacha." Rak meaning mean. When it comes to lacha, to your goof, to yourself, rak, you should mimayet. Don't be too involved in your goof, right? But when it comes to your nefesh, ushmor nafshecha, then it's meod. When it comes to your neshama, that you have to put extra effort into. When it comes to your gashmiyistik needs, your goof, that's rak hishamer lacha. Just mimayet, like rak hishamer lacha. But nafshecha me'od, that you have to shmor nafshecha me'od. It's very nogeya, now it's bein hazmanim. Be careful with our neshamas, our goof, we don't have to worry about. We take care of a goof, guns fine, all the time. But now, we have to watch ourselves, watch our neshamas, make sure we keep our starim, and shmir seinayim, which is a big inyan, as far and bring down during bein hazmanim. So it's a ma'aser with Rav Gedalia Eisner. He's the mashkiach of Yeshiva Sichadushi Arem. And once he was standing waiting for a bus. So a woman comes up to him. He's standing with his Talmud or whatever. So a woman comes up to him and says, "Excuse me, what time is it?" So Rav Eisner looks at his watch. Says, "It's 10 o'clock. He says, "Thank you." Okay. 5 minutes later, a woman comes back and says, "Excuse me, what time is it?" So he looks at his watch. He says, "It's 10:05. She says, "Thank you." She goes away. So the Talmud says to Rav Eisner, he says, "I don't understand, Rebbe. Every 5 minutes you're gonna tell this woman what time it is?" So he turns to his Talmud and he says, "And how do you know it's the same woman?" Ouch. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Pasuk says in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Kafalov, or the Psukim says, "Vashem hisanaf bi Moshe ben Utalos Klal Yisrael." That Hashem got angry at me. Al divrechem veyishav al biti over. He tells me I'm not going to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael, etc. Ki anochi meis baras hazov. Say, "Any of Eretz Yarden, I'm going to die here. I'm not going to go across the Yarden." Veatem overim yishtem. You are going in. Yishtem esaretz hatovazos. And then Moshe tells him, "Yishamer lachem pentishkuches abris," and be careful, you don't forget the bris of Hashem, Asher karasi mechem, asisim chopesel, etc., etc. So the Kehilas Yitzchak explains these psukim based on the maisa with the Rav Yonis and Ibishitz. Rav Yonis and Ibishitz was a av based in of a small town, And after he became the Rav there, the town had very little, you know, Yiddishkeit, and he mamish imbued the town with tremendous chizuk, and he, you know, would it be with the chesed organizations and Torah learning and pick mikvah and what you name it. He was mamish mechazik the community tremendously, and did great things there. Anyways, eventually he was there for a few years, and he gets an invitation from the year of Prague, which it was a, you know, great city, big city of Torah, and they wanted him to be the, you know, the Rav of Prague, tremendous big honor, and so they came to offer him the Rabbanus of Prague. So Rav Yonason called in the heads of the town that he was living in, and he said, "Look, I got an offer here to be the Rav of Prague." So they nodded their heads. Oh, okay. So he saw that they didn't, you know, care so much or whatever. So he took them up on the offer, and he said, "Fine, I'll accept the Rabbanus." So it was wonderful. They set a date where they're going to come, bring all the moving trucks, in those days horses and buggies, but right, to move them over, move them to Prague. So fine. So the date comes, and the whole entourage comes, all the wagons and things to bring all the stuff. And they come, and they start, you know, loading up the things, all his possessions and everything. And the people in the city are watching and smiling and not saying anything. So they stayed over, you know, for Shabbos, and then they're gonna leave on Yom Rishon. Still, you know, nobody says a word. So Rav Yonason says, gives his final drasha to the people before he leaves, and he gives them a nice musar shmuz. And throughout the whole drasha, he keeps repeating, and he says, "You have to make sure you don't stray from the way of Hashem. You know, keep on the derech. Don't leave Hashem. Don't forget Hashem." And over again, the same theme. I keep repeating. So finally, after the whole thing, they asked him. Says, "Rabbi, that's a nice drasha, but why do you keep repeating over and over again? We shouldn't leave Hashem. Shouldn't forget Hashem. Why, we get the point. You know, like, why did you keep repeating?" So he says, "I'll tell you what." He says, "Because you guys are a bunch of ingrates. You're kafuye tov." He says, "You know, I've been your Rav for quite a while, and I built a city out of nothing, and turned it into a Torah community, and done so much for you, and helped you now so many ways. So you think that, you know, when I get the offer to leave, you know, and be a Rav, so you think you'd be screaming, 'No, Rebbe, you know, you can't leave us, please, no. No, I didn't hear a peep. Nobody says a word.' He says, 'Oh, okay,' so you're smiling. What is that? You know, nobody put up nothing? And what's worse, you know, then they came to boo me over, delegation, and with their moving trucks and everything. You know, you should have stood there, like, said, 'No, you're not coming near our Rebbe, we're keeping him.' 'No, you know, you're just still watching.'" And then it was like, it was a busha. You know, what are these people going to say when they come back? And they're going to say, "No, did they give you a hard time?" And they're going to say, "No, what hard time?" They're just, you know, waving his hand as he left. He said, "Oh, what is that?" He says, "You're a bunch of kfuye tov. You know, you're kofir of all the good I did for you." So you see, he says, what happens is when a person is kofir the tov of his fellow man, it's not far off than he's going to be kofir in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why? He says, because at least when a person does a good for you, you can see it. You know, you can feel it. He does something, he helps you. He does something for you. It's there. It's clear. So if you don't appreciate that, what about all the good that a Kodesh Baruch Hu does? When a Kodesh Baruch Hu does good for us, most of the time it's hidden. You know, we don't see it, we don't feel it like directly. It's like we take it for granted. It's okay, we're breathing, you know, thank you. But, you know, but of course a tremendous good, but we don't see it as, you know, somebody giving you a present, you know, even though they're tremendous presents. But, so he said, so if you're going to be kofar in something you can see and feel, when a person does it good for you, so certainly, next thing you know, you're going to be kofar in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he says, that's why I, you know, gave you this moister smooth about don't forget Hashem, don't forget Hashem, because I saw you forgot all the good I did, and you can see the fact that you didn't make a fuss when I was leaving. So therefore, next thing you know, you can gonna leave Hashem. That's why I have to keep telling you this. So Kilas Yitzchak says the same idea over here, saying the Psukim. The Moshe Rabbeinu the Midrash says this, that he was, you know, hinting, we saw in last week's letter, hinting different places that Klal Yisrael, you know, did bad. And the whole time, Moshe Rabbeinu stood in and davened for Klal Yisrael by the eagle, etc. You know, don't kill them, don't wipe out Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, you know, here I am, I'm, you know, trying to help you guys out the whole time. And I'm davening for you. And Hashem's, you know, not wiping you out and saving you, whatever, because of me. So you think that the minimal thing you do is daven for me. You know, help me come into, you know, to help me get into Eretz Yisrael. But no, you know, Hashem Hisanaf Bi Al Divrechem, because you and Hashem got angry at me, and he said you're not going into the, and you're not doing anything. So therefore, Ki Anochi Meis Ba'aretz Hazos, and anyway, I'm not going to be able to go in. But Tem Ovrim, you guys are going in. How come I'm not going? You are. Why are you going in? Because I davened for you. And yet you didn't say anything. So therefore, he shamru lachem pentishkechu es bris Hashem Elokeichem, says the next pasuk. Therefore, I see your kfuyei tov. All the good I did for you, you're not davening for me. So next thing you know, you're going to forget Hashem. Therefore, you have to tell them, he shamru lachem pentishkechu es bris Hashem Elokeichem. That's the next word. First you forget my good, next thing you know, it's going to be Hashem. Okay, running out of time. Okay, that's one last thing. It says that in the, we have the parsha of Kriya Shema, right? V'yavta Hashem Elokecha, etc. V'chol v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha. So Rashi says, what's v'chol me'odecha? V'chol mamoncha, with all your money. So the simple pshat is, you know, a person has to give all his money, all his possessions, in order not to be over the Torah, over the law. A person has to give up everything he has to not to transgress a negative commandment. A positive commandment is not that way. To do a mitzvah, a positive mitzvah, you have to give up a fifth, whatever. But not to do an avera, you have to give up all your money. So b'chol me'odecha, you have to give up everything. So the Chida says, where's a hint that me'od, right, means money? B'chol me'odecha, with all your me'od. Why is that dafka money? So he says that when it comes to all other pleasures, all pleasures in the world, right? A person has a certain amount of satiation, but it might not be long-lived, but you'll satiate a little bit. You have a taiva for a piece of cake, you know. Okay, so you eat enough of it, you'll be full. Okay. It might not last. It might, after a while, you get hungry again, you want another piece. Okay. But there is that element of satiation, of sova. However, the one thing where there's no element of sova is what? When it comes to money. Right, when it comes to money, it's like, oh, good, now I have 100, now I'm high. No, it's because I'll say, Mishnei Shlomea, Ratzim Azayim. You have 100, you want 200. There's no point, okay, now I'm happy, now I don't need any more. Even temporary, right? It's constant, want more. And therefore, Me'od is a reference to money. We want more. I have to have more. No, there's no satiation there when it comes to money. And the Chafetz Chaim should say this, love doesn't have to be dafka money. Person has to give whatever it is. Anything that he loves or enjoys, he has to, is an Indian, to give it up to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mevater for Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's heard recently, interesting, Nagav, told Yaga, that we talk about vitur, like levater, to give in. I thought, no real good English word for it, but, you know, to give up. It's okay, I'm a vater, right? So once this guy came to Rav Aaron Leitz Steinman, Shlita, he asked him, says he was having his argument with his friend or whatever, about this, about that, what should I do? So Rav Aaron Leib told the guy, Tivaterlo. He says, Mivater to him, you know, just give in to him and Zel. So he said to Rav Aaron Leib, he says, but Rebbe, he says, but I'm right. That's not, but I'm right. Not my friend, I'm right. He says, yeah. He says, what do you think Levater means? He said, if you were right, it's nothing to levater. It's your. When levater means, even if you're not right, you know, but even if you are right, but to give in, here, I'm right, but that's what vitur is all about. Anyway, so a person has to levater, that doesn't love the afka money, whatever it is, it's dear to you, that's your shizinyan of, when need be, to give it up for Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'll conclude with one last maisa with Rav Nachum Chernobyl, that he once arrived at a town, and he heard they had no mikveh. He couldn't believe it. So he went to the God of the people. He goes, how could it be? How could you have a town you don't have a mikveh? And he said, Rebbe, very simple. We're very poor. And we have no money. And how are we going to build a mikveh? We need money to build a mikveh. We have no money to build a mikveh. So he says, nobody has money? He said, yeah, one guy has money. There's one gvir in the town. But he's not interested in giving a penny towards the mikveh. Nothing to talk about. So he says, okay, leave it to me. So he goes to the wealthy man, and he says, listen, there was a mikveh he built here, and so the person's like, you know, like they thought, he's not interested in, you know, donating anything for the mikveh. So he says, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal. He says, if you donate the money for the mikveh, Nachum says, I'll give you my olam haba. The guy's like, face of what? You know, you give me your olam haba? He goes, yeah. He goes, it's a deal. All right, so they shook on it, and that's it. Give him the money for the mikveh, give him. So they asked Rabbi Nachum Shemar, he says, how could you do that? How did you up your whole olam haba, this guy? How could you do such a thing? So he says, listen. He says, that's what we said. Kriyat Shema. It says, v'chol me'odecha. What does that mean? V'chol mamoncha. But like we said, name of the Chavetz Chaim also, that it doesn't have to give up money. Whatever is dear to you, that's what you have to give up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the most dearest thing that there is to me, said Rabbi Nachum? My olam haba. So therefore, have to give up your olam haba also for Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes. But the Shem, we should be Zoiche now in Motzei Tisha B'Av to see the Binyan by Shlishi, Bimhir of Yameinu, Amen.